just want to point out a necessary corrective, because we 2,000 years of anti-Semitism have sort of blackened the position of the Jews, making us think that they believed that they could win God's favor by behaving themselves. And that's not at all what Paul is talking about here. No Jew believed that. No Jew believed that you were justified by works. And it's only Christian anti-Semitism that has caused us to have that warped idea, and therefore to be able to blacken their reputation by the libel that we've created ourselves. Not an unusual circumstance, unfortunately, in the church, but there you have. The phrase religious experience has a long and very slippery history. I know in only two works that have been courageous enough to even address the question. One is the great William James Think book on the varieties of religious experience. It's still a classic, very worthwhile reading. And Jonathan Edwards, the great Protestant divine in the 18th century, who wrote a book called A Treatise on Religious Affections. And it's not surprising that people have skittered away from this, because it's very hard to get hold of. I mean, the phrase itself sounds like an oxymoron, religious experience. That is, you're experiencing something that's religious. If God exists, then God is not an object of experience. Full stop, period. You can't go beyond that. Therefore, everything we refer to when we talk about religious experience is certainly by way of analogy, and we have stretched that analogy to almost impossible ends. We got the schlock from Hollywood of the Bells of St. Mary and the Song of Bernadette, or people sing the image of Jesus under shower floor in a pizza pan, to the glories of Bach the Minor Mass, the novels of Dostoevsky, the paintings of Rembrandt. We do attempt at least to approximate what we might call religious experience. Therefore, because it is so broad a notion, we have to be fairly careful. And I was brought to think of this again, because I did my dissertation on part of this business, by this extraordinary scene, one of the most touching in the whole gospel. It's not surprising that a number of the Renaissance artists took this as a subject for painting, this woman, the sinner, presumably a prostitute, bathing Jesus' feet. As you remember, or perhaps you remember, when people ate, they ate lying down. So the feet stuck off one end of these benches that people were lying on, which is how she got to his feet. And Jesus makes this extraordinary comparison. Anybody who offered hospitality to another one observed a certain protocol. You washed people's feet when they came into your house, because there were no paved roads, feet were dirty. Okay. You kissed them on the face. You anointed their head with oil as a sign of the kind of jubilation of a shared meal. And the Pharisee did none of these things. And Jesus draws this contrast. So what are we doing here? What is the religious experience here? I think that this passage, together with some of the parable of the prodigal son, for example, that great scene in John's gospel of the woman taken in adultery. But what is going on is a kind of dynamic between Jesus and this woman, whereby she felt that she was able to respond to him in this extraordinary fashion, supplying in a far more costly and intimate way what the Pharisaic host had not supplied. Wiping his feet with ointment, kissing his feet, wiping her with her hair. The question is, why did she do that? What enabled her to do that? I mean, this woman who is publicly known as a prostitute shows up in a public place, that's this guy's house, and does it. There's clearly something in the character of this man which liberated her from her fears, from her embarrassment, from her shame, from her past. And enabled her to act in this extraordinary fashion, embracing him. So that's what I would propose as a kind of paradigm for religious experience. Whenever it's not some glorious explosion, some visionary moment, but rather whenever people can make others feel free, whenever people can lift the onus of shame or discomfort or embarrassment or their own guilt, which paralyzes all of us in all kinds of ways, at all kinds of times. And that can be dissolved simply by the presence of a person, of another person, the figure of Jesus. That, I propose, and that alone is what religious experience is. And everything else, whether it's the arias of the Bach Passions or those stunning Rembrandt drawings or paintings, the final scene of the idiot by Dostoevsky, where you had this kind of explosion, this almost incredible imagining of freedom. You go back to this lady on her knees with this very expensive ointment, responding to Jesus in that exuberant, extraordinary way. That is religious experience.